speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
This morning, I want to begin by asking a very serious question, a question that I want all of us to ponder, but also not only that I want us to think about for our soul's sake, but then in like figure, I want us to think about others maybe who are dealing with the reality of the question that I posed before you. Have you lost your joy as a Christian? Have you lost that joy that you once had whenever you became a child of God? Is there a point in your life where that the joy that you had whenever you submitted to the Lord is that joy is no longer with you? If you're not dealing with that, likely there are some here today who are. And therefore, I want all of us to pray for those individuals as well as to reach out if indeed we realize that someone is struggling with having true joy in their life and their relationship with the Lord either is or has failed. Whenever we think with regard to joy as a Christian, I believe that there is no other joy that we can have in life that would surpass the joy that we have as belonging to our God. You know, there is indeed joy in becoming a New Testament Christian. The Bible identifies, to begin with, is that there is joy in heaven whenever sinners are baptized. There's rejoicing by our Heavenly Father. The Father longs so much for us to have a relationship with Him, but yet at the same time, the Bible identifies is that sin separates us from God, and the Scripture also shows every one of us is that no one is able to have a relationship with God in and of themselves because all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And yet at the same time, because of God's love for us, He gives us a means wherein that our sins can be forgiven whenever we believe in Jesus and when we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Hence, we are able at that point then to have our sins forgiven, to be added by the Lord unto His kingdom. And friends, as a result of that, we are in a relationship with our God. And this brings great joy to our God. The Scripture identifies is that God rejoices whenever people become His children. But not only do we find is that God rejoices, the heavenly host also rejoices. Who is made up there in regard to the heavenly host? It is the angels that God has created. You see, the angels themselves are in a saved state. Those who reside there in their heavenly abode, these angels that have been created by God, the Scripture also identifies is that they look into our salvation and they inquire in regard to these matters. And yet at the same time, whenever you and I obey Christ in baptism, even though that they do not fully understand these things or comprehend it, they also rejoice with our God whenever we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ. But you and I know as Christians is that God and the heavenly host are not alone in regard to the joy that is seen whenever people put Christ on in baptism. Members of the Lord's church celebrate, do we not? Whenever we see the spiritual birth of people. Whenever people respond to the Lord's invitation, I will tell you that as a gospel preacher who's been working here for a little over 8 years, and who worked in Pennsylvania for 6 years, and even before that, part-time as a preacher. What am I saying? I've got a lot of years in, I guess, if you would, as a preacher. And still, whenever people respond to the Lord's invitation, whenever they walk that aisle, whenever people say, I want to put Christ on in baptism, I get goosebumps all over. I get a chill that goes down my spine. Because of the joy that is within me, knowing that a sinner is going to have their stripes washed away and cleansed through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know that I'm not alone. others who are within the eldership. Sometimes within the eldership, whenever people respond, we talk about how grateful we are for those individuals who have made that decision to become a Christian. We want you to know that as an eldership, we pray for our members on a continual basis, as well as we pray for those who are outside of the body of Christ. And we are working and wanting so much to help build this congregation up numerically as well as spiritually. And it's not for the sake of numbers, but rather because those numbers represent souls. And it makes us happy, filled with great joy, whenever people become a Christian. And friends, every member is like that, are we not? Whenever souls come outside of sin and they are a part of the body of Christ in their obedience, we all rejoice with these people because of the relationship that they gain with God in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a lot of Christians here today, do we not? In fact, the majority that we have here amongst us have already put Christ on in baptism. And you remember whenever you put Christ on in baptism, how you felt? I remember my feelings. I was a young boy. I was later rebaptized because I questioned whether or not I had done things for the right reason. But in that, I do go back to the day that I was baptized as about the age of 12 or 13, is that I had these goosebumps all over me. Not because I was chilled by the water, but because of the fact that in my obedience, I realized that God, my Creator, and that Jesus, my Savior, in my obedience, saved me. And I was filled with such excitement and such joy, knowing that now I'm able to be a child of God. Now not only do I have a physical family, but also I have a spiritual family, and that if I live my life in accordance to the will of God, realizing that I'm not going to be perfect, but rather that I'm able in my continued repentance and prayer that God will continue to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Friends, that has given me motivation and determination and great joy in life to continue on. And I know that if you're a Christian here today, you can also relate with what I'm saying. We are blessed, are we not, to be in Christ. As New Testament Christians, our hearts are filled with love. We love each other. Amen? And we ought to. And if you don't love your brethren, then I'm going to suggest from what I read in Scripture that you can't also love God, because you can't love God whom you've not seen if you can't love those whom you do see. And God wants us to love one another with a devoted love, with a sacrificial love, and with an expressed love and a demonstrated love. But friends, also, our hearts are filled with great joy and love for our God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. And how many of us in here today read and study the Bible and we find in regard to the sacrifice that God made at the cross for us, and how does that affect you inside? Inside, it makes me sad that Christ had to go through those things, but it makes me glad. It fills me with an inexpressible joy to know that Christ Himself, but also that our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He gave His Son to die for our sins. And that fills me, and I know that it does you, with love. It fills us with joy, and it fills us with hope. Knowing that as we go through this life, as we live in this world, with all of the ups and downs, the roller coaster rides that it puts us on, with all of the challenges, the trials, and the temptations that is constantly out there, is that as long as we stay focused and do all that is within our power to do to live in accordance to the will of God and trust in Him, is that heaven will be our eternal reward. That brings us great joy and excitement in our lives, does it not? You see, I believe that God wants our lives to be filled with joy. If you have joy in your life, what is the source of your joy? Now, if you have joy in the world, there are things in this world that will bring a person joy. But at the same time, the things of the world that bring us joy, they are temporary in nature. For instance, whenever I was just a child, I remember getting this Evel Knievel motorcycle. And some of our younger kids are saying, Evel Knievel, who's that? This Evel Knievel, he was a daredevil of my day, and even before that, who jumped over cars, who jumped over from one building to the next building, who jumped over sections of the Grand Canyon and such. So he was somewhat of a sports figure, I guess you would say, and a daredevil. And I remember as a young boy getting this Evel Knievel motorcycle with Evel Knievel on it, and you would pump it up. And then you would hit this little trigger and release, and that thing would go zoom, just all the way. And I remember the first or second day I had it, is that I pumped it all up, probably pumped it a few extra times, hit the trigger and released it, and bam, right into the cabinet it went and broke the forks. Motorcycle riders don't do that. That's not a good thing. And I remember thinking, my joy went to sadness. Mom, Dad, my Evel Knievel bike broke. We glued it back together and it never was the same. The world has things that will bring us joy, but it's temporal in nature. But you know, God is a source of real and true joy, is He not? Whenever we put Christ on in baptism, if we live in accordance to the will of God, friends, that will never, should never, ever leave us. And knowing is that our eternal God, Heavenly Father, is the one who is responsible for all of the good and perfect blessings that we have in life. Isn't that within itself enough to bring us great joy? And because of this, every single day our lives ought to be filled with joy and with happiness. I don't understand why sometimes some Christians walk around with their head bowed low, or they walk around with their in their life and on their face they look like they're just eating a bunch of sour grapes or something. I don't understand that. They'll walk around in their life and they'll focus on the negativity that we find in the world, and they'll say, you know, there's nothing good. And sadly, even worse than that, sometimes they'll even talk about brethren. They'll put down the church in various ways. And friends, that's not the way that God wants us to be. God wants our lives to be filled with joy. He does not want us to see that the glass is half empty. The devil wants us to focus on that, but rather God expects us to see that the glass is half full, and that He is the one who's filled it to that point. And He'll fill it the rest of the way up if we will allow Him to do so. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? Our joy in life cannot be taken away from us. And somebody said, no, wait a second, Kevin, that kind of contradicted what you just said. As you were starting this lesson, you asked us a question, did you not? Have you lost your joy? And if somebody's lost their joy, doesn't that mean that has been taken away from them? Absolutely not. Our joy as a Christian cannot be taken from us. Jimmy, I can't come down there and take your joy from you, right? Philip, I can't take your joy from you. I can't take your joy from you. But the problem of the matter is that some Christians lose their joy because they allow their joy to depart from them. They turn it over. They walk away from their joy. They allow certain matters, certain people, certain things to govern each day as to whether or not they're going to rejoice in the Lord or not. There are a number of things that would factor into these matters. And I know that indeed these things can be disappointing. Take into consideration the death of a loved one. I have talked to people before who have said, I'm not as happy as I used to be as a Christian. And we start to talk about those things, to investigate it, if you would, as to maybe what happened. And I couldn't tell you the number of times where I've talked to people and they say that they've lost their joy and they say, well, you know, I lost a loved one. And I just, for the sake of me, cannot figure out why God would do that to me or to our family. And friends, let me be frank, but also understand is that I'm trying to be not only honest here, but I'm also, I understand, all of us lose people, do we not? It's the design of this world. It's the way in which God has put things into motion, is that life here in this world is not meant to last forever. He wants us to love our family, to spend time with our families while we have them, our loved ones, to build those relationships and to build memories that will carry us even beyond after they pass on. But whenever they do pass on, He does not want us to be challenged to the point to where we would question God. Because what God wants us to do in those moments is to rely on Him. Never question Him, but to turn to Him and to say, God, I know, and especially if we're dealing with a Christian, amen, who's passed on, we know that they are much better off than what we are. Is that they've gone on to a rest, and that they no longer have to worry about the temptations that we face in this world. And therefore, we say, God, this is a challenge. Help me through it. But sadly, so many that I've talked to through the years have allowed the death of a loved one to lead their joy away from them. But also, from time to time, we find is that people will lose their joy. They're struggling immensely in life because of the struggles that they've had in life. And they will despise God. I've had people say to me who's dealing with long-term sickness or illness, and they say, you know, for the sake of me, I did everything that I could to live for God. I've done everything imaginable not to put contaminating things in my life. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I never did drugs, and now I have this sickness and this disease, and God is putting me through it. God's not putting us in anything, am I right? Remember what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 13 through verse 15? Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempts any man. You see, God's not putting us in any situation. He's not laying that sickness or illness upon us. But so many times is that I talk to people who have left the body of Christ, who do not have this joy, and they say, well, I despise God for what He's putting me through. And during those moments, we shouldn't turn from God, but rather we should turn to God. In fact, we need God always in our lives, but don't we need Him maybe a little bit more, if you would, when we're going through those challenges or trials in life? In reality, it's only God who's going to get us through it. He saw us go into it, He's going to see us out of it as well. But friends, also, many people lose their joy because of Satan's temptations, his allurements. He will dangle the carrot in front of them. In fact, He dangles the carrot, does He not, in front of all of us. And as Christians who maintain our joy, as Christians who are determined more than anything to live before God faithfully here so that we can stand in the presence of God faithful in the end, we have that same carrot, if you wouldn't, in a different way, dangled in front of us. We say, I'm not interested. That old carrot doesn't mean anything to me because I know that what God has is far, far greater. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian lived their life to that end? But sadly, many do not, and they take that carrot, sin, they consume of it. We read of somebody like that in Genesis chapter 3, do we not? Adam and Eve. And what happened to the life as a result of that? They were shamed. They felt shame within. And I believe that whenever people engage in sin, there is that shame, there's that conscience that God has given us that plays with, that messes with the mind, and therefore they cannot have joy because they know in reality what it is that they've done against God and against themselves. And therefore the only release of that is to restore a relationship with our God. But brethren, I'm going to talk to those of us who are in the church today and maybe we don't realize our effects upon others. Sometimes people lose their joy because of us. If our lives are lived in a hypocritical manner, people see that. I was studying with somebody here a while back, and the question was actually asked to me. They said, "Why would I want to be a Christian?" And I thought, wow, that's an open door. Let's just study that a little bit more. And engaged in that towards because our sins are forgiven, because we are able to have in the forgiveness of our sins a relationship with God. And the person said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, what do you mean? And the person said, because I know a member of your church. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, they curse like a sailor and they go out and buy beer. And I said, really? And the person said, too many hypocrites in the church for me. Isn't that sad that one soul can have that profound of an impact, negative impact upon others? The person told me, said, they don't buy it local. You'll never see them. They'll go down to Manchester. They'll go down to Cookeville, Murfreesboro. I'm like, really? Friends, some forsake the Lord because of the lack of focus that Christians, professing Christians, ought to have. We can either help to encourage people to Christ or to live faithful before God in Christ, or else we might be the worst example that God, worst example for people in the world. There are so many other reasons why people allow their joy to be stolen away or to be taken from them. And yet the Bible gives us a plan for a renewed joy. So today I'm going to challenge that if you're here and you've lost your joy, what do you need to do? You need to ask God to restore your joy. That's what the Bible identifies to us, taking into consideration David. Whenever he sinned against God, he says, Lord, restore my joy, the joy of my salvation. God is the giver of salvation. And David realizes that if he's going to ever be able to have the joy that he once had in his relationship with God, is that God is the one who initially gave it, and God is the one who's going to also have to restore it. But there were also some things that David needed to do, and Israel also understood these same things as they had lost their joy and asked God to restore their joy. They needed to repent and to return to living their lives in accordance to the will of God. But friends, also, let me suggest, is that those who have lost their joy and allow the days of this world to tear you down, look at each day as a renewed day. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. How many in here deal with some heartache each day? It's okay to raise your hand. All of us deal with heartache each day. How many in here, by the time you get home of a night, sometimes the world is just, you feel like it's, you're carrying it on your shoulders, and sometimes you even feel like you got it all up here. It just weighs you down, and mentally and physically, you feel like you can't go on. And then what happens? Bedtime rolls around, we get into bed, and a new day starts in the morning. I feel much better after sleeping through the night. That helps to some degree. But then in like figure, we've got to turn loose of what was behind over here in order for us to be renewed in the day that is given to us by God. So look at each day as a new day, another opportunity to do what? To work, to put positive things in your life. To put away the negative things. To put away those people, even sometimes, that are causing you issues. And somebody says, well, Kevin, that's my family, that's my friends. And friends, sometimes we even need to step back from those close situations in order to rethink, to refocus, and to renew our joy. And it might even mean that we need, if it's family and close friends, we need to explain to them that, listen, I can't put up with this ungodliness that you've got going on in your life. I can't let those things dictate me. I can't deal with the drama that you... Anybody in here have drama? I can't deal with the drama that's going on in this world. I've got to deal with my life and my relationship with the Lord. Putting those things away and looking to put positive things in your world to fill it back up with God and godliness will bring joy unto your life. But friends, also, I want us to think daily about the joys of eternity and heaven with our God. Over 400 times in the New Testament, the Bible speaks, God speaks about heaven. That's pretty important, isn't it? Heaven. We live in this world, and it's only for a moment, temporary. Heaven is what it is really and truly all about. And if we think about heaven every single day, over 400 times it's mentioned in Scripture. So there's 365 days in a year. There's more Scripture than there are days in the year that speak about heaven. So pick out a verse each day to look about what God says about heaven. And think about those verses or that verse every single day about what God has for you. And if that doesn't bring you happiness, then maybe you're not a Christian. And you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Or maybe you've departed from God and you need to be restored. Joy. Have you lost your joy as a Christian? If so, what have you allowed to take it away? It's not been taken from you, but what have you allowed? What have you surrendered it to? God doesn't want us to live life in hopelessness or in sadness, but God wants us to live life with great joy and love and hope in Christ. And this morning, if you're here, you're subject to that call, His invitation, we invite you to come as together.